The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, greetings once again. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us for this special netcast. We're going to be talking about a very important topic from a message that was recorded at Faith and Victory Church in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is now Faith and Victory Church of the Piedmont Triad. Faith and Victory Church now has two campuses, one in Greensboro, where we've been for 25, 26 years, and the other campus is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So we're excited about what God is doing at Faith and Victory Church of the Piedmont Triad, praise the Lord, where Ed Taylor is pastor. And I tell you, it is a tremendous privilege to be a member of such a going church for the Word of God and the flow of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now, lots of announcements, but I'm going to try to make it really short because I want to get right into the Word of God, and that is this. SpeakFaith.tv, we've added a new program to an old program time slot. And you say, how can that be? Well, Rick Renner, which is a tremendous teacher of the Word of God, he ministers the Word of God in such a powerful way because of his knowledge of the Greek. He's such a Greek scholar that he can get in there and dig out some things that are just exciting to know and to hear and to see. And of course, he's been teaching with, he's been on Speak Faith TV for a long time with his daily little 5-minute program. But now he has a program that is designed to reach out to the United States and share what's going on with his ministry and share the Word of God as well. And that has been added to his time slot or to his slot on SpeakFaith.tv. And so I encourage you to go check that new program out. Just started yesterday as I record this. So really excited about that new program on SpeakFaith.tv. The other exciting thing, the thing I haven't been able to tell you about, but have wanted to, because now it's official, is that I'm going to be a speaker at the next international convention of the ICFM. I'm a member of ICFM. I joined back in 1979. Got the old gray beard to prove it. But joined back in 1979 when ICFM was ICFM, the International Convention of Faith Churches and Ministries. Now it's the International Convention of Faith Ministries, a little more inclusive name. And I'm going to be speaking at the convention on how small to medium-sized ministries can reach the world with the internet. In other words, the very technology that I'm using right now, I'm going to be talking about to all these ministers literally from around the world. So I'm excited about that. I believe the Lord has made this come to pass through a series of divine connections, and I'm excited about that, praise the Lord. Well, let's get into our message right now. This is a special message. I told you about it last time that I wanted to share this with you. How do we fight the good fight of faith? All righty, well, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, and while you're doing that, let me give you a little setup for what we're talking about tonight. You know, we've been told that we're to fight the good fight of faith, and that is absolutely true. And we're going to read that scripture here in just a few minutes from 1 Timothy. But when you fight the good fight of faith, how do you fight the good fight of faith? That's what we want to talk about tonight. How do we fight the good fight of faith? Praise the Lord. So find your place there in Ephesians, and let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to receive from your word. Father, we know the Holy Spirit is in fact the teacher. And so, Father, we just make it available for him to guide and direct this service. Father, just use me in any way you see fit to teach the word of God. We thank you for what we're going to receive here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Very familiar verse of scripture here, verses of scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's the point I want us to make right there as we get started. We do not fight this fight of faith against people, flesh and blood. Okay? That is not the purpose. Now, I'm on Facebook. Some of you know where I'm headed with this. There's a whole lot of people fighting flesh and blood on Facebook. They're just making all these accusations and talking, you shouldn't preach this and you should preach that and all this kind of thing. And I tell you, it can get rather harsh. Well, you know, as Pastor has pointed out, if somebody is teaching something that is in error, there is absolutely nothing wrong with saying that is in error. And the Bible says to mark them and to avoid them. Okay, so that would seem harsh to a lot of people, mark them and avoid them, but that's what you have to do to stay true to the Word of God, is don't listen to false doctrine. If you're listening to false doctrine, what you hear goes into your heart, it gets in there and it builds up in there, and it can just really lead you down a road to destruction. But, you know, pointing at somebody and saying, well, look at what they're doing, and just, you know, ragging on some personal thing, as they say in the political realm, personal attacks, that isn't fair game, okay? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Now, false doctrine as a teacher, yeah, I'll point it out every time, okay? But I don't care who's teaching it. I don't even care one way or another about them, other than I'd like to see them straight according to the Word of God, yes. I'd like to see them get straightened out doctrinally, scripturally. But as far as how they dress, what kind of jeans they wear, whatever, I don't care. I really don't. Okay. But all that to say, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, and having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith. Now I want you to think about a shield. A shield is defensive. Okay? That protects you. If you're in a battle and you have a shield, you use it to protect you from the guy in front of you with the sword, right? However, he then goes on to say, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Word is the sword. God's Word is the defense, or the offensive, I should say, weapon. The shield is the defensive part of your armor, and your helmet and all the other parts of your armor. But the sword is offensive. That's what you actually battle with, is that sword. So as we get into this, let's actually go look at 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, wherewith thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, before we get into exactly how we fight this fight of faith, let's find out some things about it. First thing we need to know about this fight of faith is that it's a good fight. Now, why is it a good fight? Because we win. Hallelujah. We've heard that preached. It's a good fight because we win. And you know what? I read the back of the book, and we do, in fact, win. And that's true in your personal life, too. That's not just true of the body of Christ in general, although that is absolutely true. It's also true of you individually. You need to see yourself as a world overcomer. Not because of who you are in and of yourself, but because of who you are in Christ Jesus. He's made you a world overcomer. So, identify yourself as that winner. Identify yourself as the world overcomer, because that's who you are. Now, it's a good fight because we win. Lay hold on eternal life, wherewith also thou art called, and professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, it's interesting to me that he says, fight the good fight of faith, profess a good profession. Now, this word profession here, you know, that sounds a little foreign to us. We're used to thinking in terms of confession. Well, you know what? It's the exact same word in the Greek. Confession, profession. It is the Greek word homologio. I love this word because the word itself has a little mini teaching built into it. Homo, as we know, means same. Logio is from logos, or logos, depending on how you pronounce it, logos. The word of God, the written word of God is the logos of God. The rhema is the word that we have received, incorporated into our spirit, and it becomes revelation to us. That's the rhema word of God. But the logos is what we have here before us. This leather book of the word is our copy of the logos. All right, homo then is same. What does that mean then? Same word? Yeah. The same word, or speaking the same thing as God. That's the way I want to look at it for the purposes of our study. Speaking the same thing as God. What does God say about you? That you're in a good fight, that you win. What does he say about you? That you're a world overcomer. What does he say about you? You win. You always triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen? All of those scripture come to mind as what God says about you. So you ought to be saying the same thing about yourself. Homologio, speaking the same word as God does about you. That's what we're talking about here. Professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, many witnesses, we've been told in the Word of God, are all of those, not only that are alive here today, that hear you right now, but all of those that are in the heavenly, you know, amphitheater, that are looking down and, whoo, look at that. The saints are winning. Hallelujah. It's like watching the winning team. I think they're getting pretty excited because we're coming right up to the end of the game here, so to speak. You know, so they're pretty excited watching us win. And we need to have the same attitude of faith, spirit of faith, the attitude of faith, that we're winners, we're world overcomers. We triumph in Christ Jesus. All right, so now let's look at a couple of things here that I think you'll find kind of interesting. Before I get started, I will mention this. Ben is very much into swords. He loves swords. Matter of fact, a lot of birthdays, Christmas, whatever, he'll get a sword. He loves swords, all right? He's got a wall that's full of swords. You know, it's just his thing. So I asked my resident sword expert a few questions about swords. Now, as usual, if you ask an expert about something, he tends to go on about this or that and the other. And I was just trying to get one little point. But he made some good points in what he said, talking to me about swords. I was asking him the difference between a single-edged sword and a double-edged sword. You know, a single-edged sword, if you can imagine, you have a blade that's very sharp, and then you have the top part of that blade that's really flat. It's not a blade at all. It's, you know, I don't know the official term for it, but we'll just say a sword that it has one edge, okay? Imagine that. Now imagine yourself actually wielding that sword. You got the sword and you strike this way and it cuts. But if you were to pull it back and strike the other way, it's just a blunt edge. It's not going to do any good. So you have to be very skilled to use the sword and then come back and go the other direction and come back and go the other direction. You see what I'm saying? It takes a lot more capability and knowledge and training to use that kind of sword, from my perspective. And Ben said, yeah, okay, I can see that. All right, but a double-edged sword, it's sharp on both its sides. So you cut this way and it cuts. You come back this way and it cuts. You go this way and it cuts. You come back this way and it cuts. Cutting every way you go. Seems to me, just as a novice here, seems to me a double-edged sword would be more efficient. Okay? Now, Belinda had a point. She'd heard some teaching, and I kind of like this, that the different thing about a double-edged sword is it cuts going in and out both ways. And at first, I didn't get that until she explained a little bit more. She said, what that means is you hear the word and it'll cut you sometimes. But then you use it against your enemy, it cuts him. So, yeah, okay, I can see that. That's kind of cool. I can understand that. But my big thing is a double-edged sword is efficient. And it is a good weapon in a war or warfare. All right? Now let's look at a couple of things concerning a sword. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, see, that tells me right there that the word of God as a weapon that is offensive for us to use is stronger and more powerful than even a two-edged sword that we were just talking about in the natural. It's stronger than a natural sword would be. And that's pretty much what he's saying. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul or spirit. Now, the Greek here actually says it this way. It will distinguish or divide the difference between the soul and the spirit. Throat's starting to dry out just a tad. So I had to stop. But the point there is, a lot of Christians, particularly a lot of ministers, excuse me, make the point that the soul and the spirit are the same thing. Well, they're not. I heard that growing up as a Baptist boy. Soul and the spirit. They was used interchangeably. Matter of fact, most of the time they'd say soul because they were used to saying soul winner. And come to find out that really, if you look at the actual definition, a soul winner isn't what we think of about getting people born again. People that are born again in the spirit. Now, you win their soul, because their souls are mind, will, and emotions, by convincing them of their need of salvation, and then they receive the Word of God, and they get born again, and then their spirit is saved. You won their soul. You see the difference? Soul and spirit. Two different things. But it is hard to distinguish the difference between the soul and the spirit. A lot of folks don't at all. All right? But the Word of God has the ability to divide the difference between the soul and the spirit. It can distinguish the difference between the soul and spirit, and in fact is the only thing that can, according to the Word of God. So I'm thankful that we have been given instruction and knowledge concerning the fact that we are a spirit. We have a soul, my will and emotions. We live in a physical body. And the three parts together is what's called, theologically speaking, tripartite man. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. So that three becomes one. Now I think that's interesting because that's exactly the way God is. God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or Spirit, together are one. Well, yes, it's hard to understand the Trinity, don't get me wrong, but you know what? You're a Trinity. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. You're kind of a little model, so to speak, of what God is. And that makes sense because He created us in His image, His likeness. Not only the fact that, you know, as Pastor was teaching this morning, that we are designed here on this earth to have dominion, that is to be rulers of this earth. Mankind was designed to be in dominion, or a king, or a little G-O-D, God, over this world system. That was the design, that was the thought, that was the intent. Okay, but as we know, Adam sold us out. He gave over his rights to dominion and ceded it over to the devil. So now the Bible refers to him as the little G-O-D of this world. I like to put it that way because you start talking about, you know, the devil's the god of this world. People go, oh, they get all bit out of shape. I'm not talking about the big G God. I'm talking about the little G-O-D God. Meaning the one who is in dominion and control. Now, you know, growing up, as a good old Baptist boy, going to Sunday school class, and vacation Bible school, and all those good things, we sang our little song, God's got the whole world in His hands. He's in control. Well, ultimately, yes, but right now in this dispensation, He's given the control to the body of Christ to pray and intercede and for us to believe God for change in this natural world, because this natural world is ruled by the little G-O-D God of this world, the devil. So, you know, when storms and floods and fires and all these terrible things come and the insurance companies call it acts of God, it's acts of the little G-O-D God, not the big G-O-God, G-O-D God, right? So we got to get that straight. And we got to realize that when we fight the good fight of faith, we are fighting not against man, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, it's a spiritual battle. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up just a tad here. The Word of God's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now again, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. What does the Word of God affect? Soul and spirit. joints and marrow. What's that? That's the body. Discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Again, the human spirit. And again, it's different, difficult to divide the difference between the soul and the spirit. But every one of those realms is affected by God's Word. God's Word will heal your body. God's Word will deliver your mind. God's Word will produce you being born again into the kingdom of God. So it affects every area of your life. All right, let's look at this sword. I found a lot of scriptures that had to do with the sword that Jesus uses out of his mouth. All right, so let's look into this sword that we're talking about. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Isn't it interesting that here the reference to a sword is talking about speaking? You're going to find that that turns up in the Scripture time and time and time again. I have a list here of Scriptures that are amazing in the fact that they all have to do with the sword being words that are spoken. Isaiah 1:20. But if ye refuse to rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The sword, the mouth of the Lord. Again, look at that word picture. Look at that direction that we're going here. Jeremiah 47:6. O thou sword of the Lord. Now, we're going to read here in a few minutes the description of Jesus in the book of Revelation with the double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Would you not agree that that would be the sword of the Lord? Yeah. The sword of the Lord, how long will it err? How long will it be ere thou be quiet? It's hard to read. Let me look at that again in case I typed it wrong. O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? The sword be quiet. In other words, words that are used in conjunction with a sword. Put up thyself to thy scabbard, rest and be still. All right, now let's look at Revelation. Revelation 1:16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now think about that. The sharp two-edged sword, we think of a sword using it with our hands, but he's got a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Again, pointing to the fact that it's words. That's going to become important as we go back to our key scripture and look at that. But I want to get through some of these really quickly here. Revelation 2:12. The angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. And where's that sword? Coming out of his mouth. All right. That's interesting. I got same verse twice. Oh, no, I see it. That was 2:12. 2:16, Revelation 2:16 says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Again, the sword and the mouth going hand in hand. Revelation 19:15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And then 19:21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, whose sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now let's go back up to that verse of Scripture we started with in 1 Timothy 6:12, talking to us now. Remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. But talking to us, he says, fight the good fight, because it's a winning fight, of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Now, I want you to think about that phrase, lay hold on eternal life. Every time the Bible talks about operating in faith, it is never in a passive sense. I'm going to let that just sit there a minute. Every time the Bible talks about operating in faith, it is never in a passive sense. It's always telling you, lay hold on something. It's telling you to seize something. It's telling you to grab hold of something. Every time it is active. Whenever you operate in faith, you never operate in faith passively. I heard Brother Keith Moore say in a teaching recently that I heard, he was talking about when you talk about fighting a good fight of faith. A lot of Christians say, well, brother, I'm just not a fighter. I'm a pacifist. He said, you know what? You're going to get beat up. Because the devil doesn't step back and go, oh, I'm sorry, you're a pacifist. I guess I'll just take it easy on you. The devil's not that way. If you want to know what the devil is like, look at what's going on with ISIS. Because they are completely given over to the devil.
Well, we're going to stop right there and pick it up next time and hopefully conclude this message. But I trust you're receiving from these things that we're talking about, and it's a blessing to you. Now, I'd love for you to write me right here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213. I always do that. I try to transpose that. But you remember it correctly. 5213 High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. At least some part of my mind catches it so that it corrects it. 5213 is the P.O. Box. High Point, North Carolina, 27262. Praise the Lord. And of course, you can always write me at my email address, which is drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org. Speaking of WOFM.org, go to our website and check out all the exciting opportunities we have for you to receive from the Word of God. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.